What brought you to New Orleans to work with the Common Ground Collective?
Well, when the hurricanes first hit, I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it because I just figured, you know, it was another American catastrophe and I was Canadian and didn't have to give it a lot of thought. And sort of over the course of the next few months, started hearing stories about a lot of racism going on and governmental neglect. And I started to get a bit interested and then managed to meet someone who went down to do rebuilding work for a few months. And the stories that he came back with were really inspiring. And so a friend of mine pointed me towards the Common Ground website, and I noticed that they were looking for volunteers. And so I decided to take some time off school and go.
What were you expecting to encounter before you arrived in New Orleans?
I wasn't sure. I mean, I didn't know a lot about the city, for starters, the history of the city. I don't know a lot about sort of racial tension. And I didn't know what the situation was because, you know, on one hand, people were like, well, New Orleans is up and running. It's busy. Come down for Mardi Gras. Come down for your spring break. It was like the hot spot for spring break this year. And on the other hand, I was hearing all these stories of police brutality and people just not having homes and nothing being done. So when I showed up, I really had no idea what kind of situation I was going into, which, I mean, continued as I got into the city because I flew in to the airport. Sort of on the plane on the way in, there were some tarps on houses, but that's about it. And it didn't look too bad. And I got off the plane and ended up taking a cab sort of through the downtown. And, you know, the roof on the Astrodome is being rebuilt and there wasn't a lot of damage. And literally you just turn the corner and you get into what is the poor black neighborhoods and there's debris everywhere and houses sitting in the middle of the street. Like nothing has changed since August when the hurricanes hit.
What is New Orleans like right now?
That's really hard. I mean, it's a 50-50 split. Part of it, it's the most beautiful city that I've ever been to. The people there are so amazing and kind and welcoming and grateful that people are going down and helping out. And at the same time, it's a disaster zone. It's completely in ruins. It's being neglected. And it's really, I mean, it's the difference of night and day.
Talk a little bit about what Common Ground is doing down there.
Well, Common Ground was started not too long after the hurricanes hit by four community members who were just concerned about sort of the lack of resources that there were. And so they started up a health clinic in Algiers. And within, you know, weeks of them setting up, the Red Cross, who weren't offering much medical care, were sending people to Common Ground, which really, I mean, it was started with $50. And so it's completely volunteer driven. They've received donations. They still really need donations of stuff, but they've gone to a point now where they're running the health clinic. They've got teams going out and gutting out houses that are full of mold. They have lots of tools and just really amazing people who are training people to do this because a lot of the kids going down have never had to, you know, get out of house, be near mold before. They're running an after-school program for children, so there's lots of stuff going on. I think that a lot of the volunteers who first went down were sort of hippie, anarchist, activist kids and made a huge impact and put a call out looking for students to go down over Thanksgiving, Christmas, spring break. I happened to be down there during spring break, and they had over 600 volunteers come through. So we're talking about, you know, middle to upper class, college-educated kids who have probably never experienced something like this in their life. And I think that was what was pretty amazing, was everyone was just working side by side, and it didn't matter your background or your race or what country you were from or how much sort of activist experience you had. Just everyone worked together and got stuff done. And I think that was pretty amazing.
What was the draw for a lot of them? What brought them to decide to get their hands dirty, as it were, on the ground?
Growing up, sort of anywhere in America, most people have seen racism, have witnessed what happens when governments don't work to the best of their ability. And I think that especially a lot of sort of independent media really portrayed the picture really accurately of what's going on in New Orleans with no government support, with no plans to rebuild the city. I mean, there's thousands of people missing. There's thousands of people who have no homes. And I think that, at least for myself, like once I heard these stories, there was no way that I couldn't go. And I think that was pretty much echoed throughout all of the volunteers. I mean, there were people there who picked up and just left everything and have been down there for months. Lots of kids go down for 1 week and plan on leaving and cancel their plane tickets and have been there since October.
How does Common Ground get new people integrated into rebuilding operations, into organizing things?
Well, pretty much what happens, I mean, because a lot of volunteers are only there for a few days, and so things have to happen quickly. So every day at 5:30, they have a volunteer orientation. They basically go through, you know, the history of the collective, what's happening, what you can be involved with. And the next morning, 6:30 comes, you get a wake-up call, and you're out gutting a house. And there's crew leaders who have been out there doing it for quite a while, and they teach you how. And I mean, a lot of kids became crew leaders while I was down there, which is really amazing because, I mean, they had shown up a week earlier not knowing how to do any of this, and within a week, it can be done. I mean, it's not an overly difficult task. It's not something horrible, but it's dangerous, and a lot of people just don't do it or can't do it.
What kind of jobs did you participate in?
Well, I went down, I have a background in sort of social work activism stuff here in Toronto. So I went down and ended up volunteering at the Women's Center, which is another example of really how much I didn't know going into it, because I was under the impression that it was sort of a drop-in program for local residents. And I got there and it turned out to be a house that had been turned into a shelter. And so when I got there, there was a house and I think there were 13 residents at the time, some children, pregnant women, all of whom had lost their houses, and lots of them weren't getting government support. Their checks weren't coming through from FEMA. Trailers weren't available. And so, I mean, these women were really just trying to survive and provide for their children and try to get their lives back together. There were a couple of staff members there when we got there, but we're not talking about social workers or psychologists. There was this woman, Miss Kitty, who was phenomenal and did a great job, but she had a women's studies degree, had never had firsthand experience. But she went in there and knew that something had to be done and ended up being daytime staff, doing overnights. Like, she just basically lived at the center. So when the three of us got down there, we tried to use our expertise to create some sort of programming for the children, because there were children living there, and only 17 of the over 100 schools in New Orleans have been reopened. Most of them aren't ever going to be reopened. So these kids had no school. So they were just basically running around and really had nothing to do. And so we also tried to set up, you know, things like house rules, mission statements, just things to make sure that the house continued to be sustainable after we had left, training staff on how to do, you know, de-escalation, things like that. And also just interacting with the residents, because a lot of them have experienced trauma and really need to talk to someone about it and haven't had that opportunity.
You posted some stuff on a weblog online, lovestealsin.livejournal.com, and one of the stories you recounted was telling a child, you know, he couldn't play in the debris, and he came at you, he retorted with something that, I want you to repeat this because it staggered me to read this.
These kids said things that you should never hear coming from an adult, let alone a kid. It broke my heart. I spent so many nights just laying in my bed crying because I couldn't believe what these kids had gone through. So in particular, we were cleaning up the schoolyard to try to start some programming in a schoolyard that isn't being reopened. So I had a work crew come down, and, you know, we had them all suited up in Tyvek suits and N95 masks. And one of the kids, a 10-year-old boy, wanted to help out. And I was like, you know, we need to get you an outfit. Let's make sure that you're safe. And he looked at me and, as serious as could be, was like, "Miss Property, I walked around in 4 feet of floodwater with dead bodies touching me and dogs and meat floating. Why do you think I need a suit now?" And part of me wanted to be like, "Well, because then you'll be safe." But part of me was, I mean, what do you say to that? It just came out of nowhere. And these were the kinds of stories, though, that these kids were telling, and these are the things that they had gone through. And part of what was really hard was that even though some agencies have gone in and volunteered, there's not permanent counseling for these kids. There's not any sort of trauma counseling set up. And so these kids are carrying around all of this stuff and have no one to tell. And I mean, their parents are doing amazing jobs. You know, they're doing what they can, but most of them are trying to find work. Red Cross only does food drops once a day. Like, they're just trying to survive. And so there's not a lot of time to really sit down and talk to these kids.
Are there still a lot of bodies sitting unclaimed in parts of that city? Because I remember the worries about the death toll jumping into the 5 digits, and the people saying, "Oh, it's only about 3 or 4 digits. Oh, it's not so bad." But I get the impression that there are a lot of parts of the city that have not been investigated yet.
Part of the problem is that investigators who have gone in to do stuff really haven't looked that hard. There's thousands of bodies missing. And right now what they're doing is they're taking the lower Ninth Ward, which was the hardest hit, and they've started bulldozing the houses. part of what Common Ground's doing is they're sending volunteers out to watch the bulldozing to make sure it's done properly. It's done with cadaver search dogs. But it's really hard because, you know, I mean, there's thousands of people missing and no one really knows where the bodies are. A lot of the families have gone out of state. You know, they're in Texas. They're in sort of northern Mississippi working now and can't be there all the time. And so the government's sort of taking it into their own hands. And a lot of the residents are adamantly against the bulldozing. I mean, they don't want it done. These are their houses. They can be rebuilt on. They can be gutted out and made livable. And residents just aren't being given a choice, and their voices really aren't being heard.
How is Common Ground organized?
It's being run right now sort of as a collective effort. So there's not really people in charge. A lot of people sort of check the big things with Malik Rahim, who started Common Ground, who was one of the original four. But basically, people come in with different skills and expertise and talk about what they want to do and then are given the support to go ahead and do that. So for instance, we went down and said, you know, that we thought we'd be best at the Women's Center, and they sent us over there. And basically, we were left to do what we wanted. But if we needed tools or support or, you know, computers, internet, then Common Ground would help provide that. And they're in need of all kinds of volunteers, too. I mean, there's computer technicians down there. There's artists. There's people going down and doing media stuff, video documentaries. There's people gutting houses. Pretty much anyone can have a use there, which is what's really amazing about Common Ground.
It almost sounds like an anarchist form of organization, decentralized, somewhat free form, lots of little affinity groups doing what they're best at.
Definitely. I mean, it was really interesting for me from a political point of view, because I've always loosely considered myself an anarchist or to have anarchist sort of collective ideals, but was never really sure if it would work in practice. And what was amazing about New Orleans is basically you have a situation where the government has pulled out and said, you know, we're not going to take care of our people. People who had put a lot of false hope into government systems to support them have lost that hope and have now realized that they need to take things into their own hands. And the incredible thing is the crime rate has significantly gone down. Murders are almost down to zero. And people are really looking out for each other and, you know, sharing food, sharing tools to help clean houses. Things are really working, which I think is incredible and phenomenal. But it's also kind of interesting at the same time because it made me realize how much sort of false hope I still had in the government, and that, you know, if things got really bad, well, they were still there to support us. But to see New Orleans is to see that complete lack of government.
What were people saying when you talked to them about what you were going down to do? What kind of perspective can you give on what people know or don't know about what's going on?
I think that a lot of people that I talked to were really surprised just at the situation, that they even need volunteers to go down and that the city's still in such ruins. It's really cheesy to say, but 2 days before I left, Oprah did an entire special on what the media didn't tell you. But just watching the footage, I mean, I was shocked. I had no idea that that's how the city still looked. On my way down there, I ended up, you know, flying with a woman from Georgia whose family's from New Orleans, and she was going down to visit her sister for the first time since the hurricanes. And even though she lived so close, I mean, she had no idea what the city looked like, and I think was probably just as shocked as I was. I think the other thing that I heard a lot were people saying, like, wow, that's so great of you to go do that. I could never do it. And I think it's really important to point out to people that you can go do it. There's some cost involved, obviously, with traveling. But Common Ground's amazing. They have volunteers who cook 3 meals a day for everyone. There's also an emergency community kitchen, which provides 1,000 meals per day for residents and some volunteers. There's stuff there that everyone can do. It's frightening. It'll change your perspective forever. I mean, my life will never be the same again. But at the same time, everyone can contribute.
Did you feel like you'd accomplished a lot in a couple of weeks that you were working with Common Ground?
It was an emotional roller coaster. I mean, to be down there and to watch the change that can happen so quickly. I mean, I was there at the height of their sort of volunteer peak because of spring break, and hundreds of houses got gutted out. That's hundreds of homes that people now have. So, I mean, I saw the change happening, and it was happening rapidly, but unfortunately not fast enough. You know, one day I'd be really happy and, wow, look at all we're doing. And the next moment, it would be so hard because there's still so many people suffering and so many people being neglected. I mean, it took so much to pry me away from New Orleans and even get me back to Toronto. And I think I definitely left a piece of my heart down there.
Would you go back to New Orleans to continue working with Common Ground?
In a second. In a second. I mean, even in the last few days, I've gotten some phone calls and emails from people that went down for spring break who now, as soon as their semester is done, are going down for the summer to volunteer. And I wish them all the best. And they're amazing.